Our text this evening is from the book of Ephesians. Of course, we've been going through that, chapter 6, and we are looking at verse 18. So page 979 in your hymn book, if you are reading from there. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we speak about praying tonight, that you would teach us its importance, that you'd give us guidance and understanding about how we are to pray and what we are to pray for. We can be a silly bunch of people at times if we are not guarding ourselves. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see that that which we have been called to is a great matter as we fight the good fight, as we seek to advance your kingdom. Help us to pray. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of thoughts, comments before we get into the text. The text is very brief. It's just one verse. But just as we think about that, kind of thinking about the topic of prayer in general, asking ourselves why is it hard, and why do hard times produce prayer in our life? Why do we pray much when things are difficult? I think we all intuitively know the answer to that, because we feel our need, whereas in other times we have need. We have need just from a day-by-day basis to live, to exist, to be sustained, to be kept from falling, but sometimes we don't quite feel the need. We don't realize it in such a manner in which we are driven to prayer, but it is indeed our difficulties which causes us to pray more and to pray much, as we recognize we have need of a power that is beyond our own and that is outside of ourselves. One of the great problems with our prayers is that we somehow have convinced ourselves to believe that all is under control and can be managed, but it's not. And so we call upon God in prayer, that things can't be run properly. You can't plan out what the next day, the next week, the next year, the next 20 years is going to be. I always was somewhat amused for one reason or the other, my depravity or theirs, but always amused at when you come in and interview with some churches, they want to say, well, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year plan? What's your 15-year? No one ever did 15 years. But what's your 5-year plan? And I'm thinking, well, I plan to preach. I plan to minister the means of grace. That's pretty much it. And that always seemed to be unnerving to some, to throw ourselves entirely upon the mercies of God. Who would have thought? The requests which we make obviously are to be requests that are given to us of the Lord. That is an obvious, but sometimes missed. The missed point is that we are called upon to make our request known to God, but we don't do so. Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Why? Does he not know what my requests are? Well, of course he does. He knows all things. Why then am I told to make my request known to God? In a smaller world, in a simpler example, we might say, why does my wife need me to tell her that I love her? She knows that. Should be sufficient, at least for 40 or 50 years. Maybe renew it with your 50th wedding anniversary. But, of course not. And even more so, it is that we have been called upon to make our request known to him, that this is how he works, this is what he does, and so we ought to rest in that which he has called us to and realize that this is what he requires, and so this is how we pray, and this is what he has called us to do. So, in the first part of the verse, as we look at the text, we kind of gather together some thoughts. We are called to all prayer, all supplication with humility. As we think about, well, what is prayer? What kinds of prayer Is he talking about what are we to be praying for? Our shorter catechism in 98 reminds us of a couple of things concerning prayer, that it is the offering up of our desires to God. That's tremendously simple, that we lift up, that we speak up, that we speak to God those things which we have desire of. Now, certainly those desires are to be instructed and taught by the Word of God. We're not to give ourselves over to asking for all the things of our flesh, all the things that we might want, but rather those things which God has trained us to ask for, has told us that we ought to ask for. We are to be offering up those desires to God, and those things are things that are agreeable to His will. For the things that are asked in His name, what is it to be agreeable to His will? How do we know what His will is? Well, we'll get into some of that in a moment, but in brief, it is simply to know what He has said. What has He said? Again, I had a friend, just one. I had a friend some years ago that was convinced that whenever his wife would ask him to pick up something, that what she really wanted was something else. And so he'd pick up the something else, and she would never get the something. And he was quite comfortable in assuming that he knew her will. Well, the way he might know her will would be, this is simple enough. This is what she said. And as we talk about knowing the will of God, praying for the will of God, what has He said? What has He told us? We are to also bring these prayers with a confession of sin, acknowledging not only our sinfulness, but acknowledging that we have need, that He should make us clean, that He should make us acceptable in His presence. And so we come not with dirty hands, but rather with hands that have been cleaned by the blood of Christ. And we are to be thankful, acknowledging Him of His mercy, with as we cry out that we recognize He is indeed a merciful God, and we are thankful for Him. With gratitude upon our mind and upon our lips, 1 John 3:21 and 20, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive from Him, because He kept His commandments and do what He pleases. So, this is what prayer is, offering up these requests to God, things that we know He would ask us to pray for, as we confess our sins, as we acknowledge His mercy. And it is not because we have done works that He hears our prayers, but rather because this is how He has said we should approach Him. We pray for things such as the Lord's Prayer instructs us to, that we are to pray that His name is to be hallowed. We are to pray that His kingdom would come. We are to pray that His will would be done. We are to pray that He would give us daily bread. We are to pray that our sin would be forgiven. And we are to pray that we are to be not led in the way of temptation. So we pray all kinds of prayers. We follow the patterns of Scripture, the Lord's Prayer being a great one. Sometimes when you think about conversations you've had, either in your own mind or with another person, about the nature of prayer, have you ever heard, have you ever thought, well, I don't know what to pray for? And that is not a very difficult doubt to respond to, because it is quite clearly laid out in so many places, the things that we might be praying for. The Lord's Prayer, just having mentioned the summary of it a moment ago, that we pray for these things in relationship to other people. How do we pray for our neighbor, our spouse, our friend? We pray that God would give them grace to overcome temptation. We pray that they would be enabled to be faithful in their worship, praising Him, hallowed be His name, and on. You can take the Lord's Prayer and run through it and ask these things in a prayer form for your spouse, for your friends, and special bonus points are given for those who pray these things for their pastors as well. So we are to be praying much, and there is no shortage of things to pray. There have been little helps that have been provided by various corners of the Christian church over the years that are not inspired in the sense that Scripture is, but can be helpful, and we ought to take note of those that we might make use of them. That little reminder, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplications, that's a fine little help to organize and structure our prayer. As we think about the Ten Commandments, you know, I don't know what to pray. Well, let's start with the Ten Commandments and pray these things for ourselves. Pray these things for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So what do I pray for? I pray that there would be but one God before me at all times, that God would always be before me, that my mind would be upon him, my thoughts would be upon him, my desires would be upon him, and on you might go for a great deal of time. And then as you think of your brothers and sisters in Christ, as you think of other Christians, other Christian ministries, the same might be taken into hand. And so you're praying just straight through the Ten Commandments so that you have a structure. You want to know what to pray for? You want to know what God wants you to pray for? Here it is. He wants his people to be obedient to his law. Pray in such a way as to call upon him to give aid that they might be obedient to his law. The Beatitudes, the very same kind of thing. As we pray these things, the things that God says matters to him, and not simply the things that interest us. Now, you have been to other churches before, and we're willing to let that go if you don't do it again. But you've been to other churches before, and you perhaps have participated in prayer meetings, and many times it is the most frivolous things that you can imagine that are lifted up in prayer, and you wonder, well, what ought this to be like? And you begin to look at passages such as some of Paul's prayer. We read one of the passages in our New Testament reading in Ephesians chapter 1, but Philippians chapter 1, I thank God in all my remembrance of you, always and every time, prayer of mine, and it is my prayer that your love would abound more and more, that knowledge and all discernment, so that you may be approved with an excellent, and so you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What a beautiful thing to be calling out, not just reading the history of Paul's little letter to the Philippians, which is a great little letter, but taking up the text of this and taking it as an example. How would Paul pray for me? That's a pretty good role model to follow. And he says to us that as he prays, he has prayed that their love would abound more and more, that knowledge and all discernment would be there so that they may approve what is excellent. And approve means not just to give your stamp of approval, but to embrace it in such a way, this is good, and that we are to be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, that my brothers, my sisters, my spouse, my kids, all my family, all that I know and can pray for, I pray that on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be found well. And the same goes on in the book of Colossians in chapter 1, 9 through 14. And so from that day forth they heard and did not cease to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. He calls upon us to pray as he gives his example as being that very thing. I pray that you would walk with the Lord. I have sort of jokingly said before that you get the sermons you prayed for. It's not exactly what I mean. You might pray well and I might study poorly and you get the sermons I deserve, not the ones you deserve. But it is a reminder that this is a team effort as we labor to worship God together, and that your hope of the Word of God being preached affecting your heart and affecting the lives of others, and of me communicating clearly and speaking in such a way that you can understand, that these things are things we might pray about, that our end, that where we're going, that what we are moving towards would be such as that we are people who love God, who want to serve God, who want to be obedient to God. And so these prayers, these examples of prayers, these places we might run to and find instruction to pray, are laid out for us in multiple places, and it is a good thing to have in hand. Because sometimes, quite honestly, we get tired of prayer. Sometimes we're just tired. Sometimes the creative juices aren't flowing. In fact, they've stagnated. But you can bow yourself down before the Word of God and pray through the Lord's Prayer, pray through some of Paul's prayers, pray through the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes. These things will give structure and encouragement, and you don't have to say, well, I wonder if God is wanting that or not. Now, I have to kind of question it when I'm thinking, I wonder if God wants me to pray for a new Mercedes. Come to think of it, I'd take an old one. But that's a very questionable prayer in almost all times. But I never have to stop and say, I wonder if God wants our elders to be holy. I wonder if God wants me to be holy, me to be faithful, me to be true to the word. I wonder if he wants me to do the good works that he has laid. Well, of course he does. Pray for it. Pray that God might make it so. Prayers, however, though full of words and sometimes very good words, might be empty prayers altogether at the end. They might be faithless. James chapter 4 and verse 3. You ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. There's that Mercedes again. You ask for the wrong things, things that make you happy and not things that make God pleased. For the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. We come not in faith, but rather in the lust of our flesh and the desires we have apart from faith. And so prayers of faith, but how do we grow in faith when a mustard seed is enough? I mean, how do we get more faith, and why do we need more? Why do we need more faith if you've got this little bit of instruction tucked away into the parables of Christ that the faith the size of a mustard seed is effective? And as we contemplate that, we're reminding ourselves that praying in faith that God can act is what we are called to do. Again, we're not called to measure our faith, but rather to be sure that it is there as we look at our lives. Are we being faithful to the Word of God? So praying in faith according to his will, praying in faith that he will answer the obedient ask and receive, we're told repeatedly. 1 John chapter 3 and 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what he pleases, what pleases him. We ask and we receive because we do what pleases God. That sounds a little bit like works, don't it? Or does it? Just say no and trust me. It is indeed not works unto salvation, but he is reminding us here that as his obedient children, we are to ask in the midst of obedience, in the life of obedience. We ought not think that we can live a life that is wild and contrary to the Word of God in the pursuing of our own desires and our own flesh and think that God is going to answer us because we seem to have faith, though James, I think, would cause us to question that we do or do not when he assigns the task of describing faith to the task of obedience to the law. We ask and receive because we come to God in faith, because we, as his obedient children, come to him in faith, and we ask and receive because God is good. I was having a conversation at the lunch table today in Fellowship Hall, and we were talking about grandparents and how that, my perception is that grandparents are just getting revenge on their kids by spoiling their grandkids. But I don't really think that, but it is fun to say. It rolls off the tongue with a kind of a pleasantness. But when we talk about God, he is not flawed with such twisted and stupid patterns of thought, but rather we receive because he is good. Not because we are good, but rather because he is good. We can have hope that he'll hear our prayers, that he'll answer our prayers, because he's a good God. He is faithful to his word. And so those who are at the practice of worship ought to be glad that God delights in answering their prayers. 9:31, we know that God does not listen to sinners. For if anyone, and of course there he's not talking about listening, hearing. He hears sinners as he hears believers. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. If you are doing the will of God, if you are a worshiper of God, God's concerned about you. You are his family. And we see his goodness poured out upon us for that very reason. We ask and receive because we are asking for that which God has said he would give, that which he's told us to ask for. Again, in 1 John 5. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Meaning he hears us and he acts upon it. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Psalm 66 warns us, though, that if we cherish iniquity in our hearts, he doesn't hear us. He doesn't listen to us. Again, listening and hearing is here indicating a answering to these requests. Continue steadfastly in prayer, Paul writes in Colossians 4, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. With a mind and heart of thanksgiving, we give thanks as we pray that God would be merciful, that God would give those things which are needing. We're reminded from Luke 18, in the story of the persistent widow. You remember that story quite well, I'm sure. It is one of those that kind of stick into your head, because we see the heart of the judge, who is a wicked and vile man, and yet this widow comes back and knocks on his door, so to speak, and says, I need you to give me justice. I need you to deal with that man that has been evil toward me. Woman, go away. But she comes back, and she comes back, and she comes back. And finally he says, not for the sake of righteousness, because I don't fear God, I don't fear man, but this woman is a serious, full-blooded nag, and I need to get rid of her. And so give her what she wants and let her go. And of course the story ends with this, and this is what we are to hear from that. We are to hear from that that even her persistence is answered. Even if she, a woman such as she is and a judge such as he is, would answer her with that, how much more so would God not hear us and out of his mercy and goodness and kindness answer our prayers and give us? The supplications that are spoken of, we are to join in prayer with these graces, the armor that we have put on in the last couple of weeks, as we have seen the soldier of the Lord dressing for battle, for our defense against these spiritual enemies, by imploring help and assistance of God as the case requires. We must pray always, not as though we were to do nothing else but to pray. We must pray upon all occasions and as often as our own and others' necessities call for it. We are to keep up with the needs of those around us, to be in prayer for those who we are connected to in particular, because in God's providence, God has given us certain missionaries, certain ministries, certain people that we fellowship with. And though we would pray for the whole church, the whole world, if it were possible, but it is not, but he has other people there and other people there praying for these and for those. And for us, it is to pray for these that God has put into our life. And so praying for our missionaries and praying for the work of the PCA locally, and the work of the PCA and the presbytery and at the General Assembly level. We are to keep a disposition of prayer, and it should be intermixed with prayers and other duties as we are called to. We are not to be praying only, but we are to be praying always. And so when Paul admonishes the church to be always at prayer, he's not saying 24/7, you got to be on your knees, babies. Have someone give you a tube, you know, you can eat while you're praying. Don't slow down. Keep going. That is not it at all. But we are to be much at prayer. We are to be in a cycle of prayer as believers, praying for these things which God has called us to. We are to pray with all prayer and supplication, with all kinds of prayer, with public and private and secret and social and solitary and solemn and sudden, with all the parts of our prayer, our confession of sin, our petition of mercy, and thanksgiving and favors. We are to be praying all kinds of prayers. We must pray in the spirit of our spirits, must be employed in the duty, and we must do it by grace of God, God's good grace. We must watch thereunto. After saying these things, it says, and we've got to keep our eye on it. Therefore, thereunto, endeavoring to keep our hearts in the praying frame and taking all occasions and improving all opportunities for this duty. We must watch all the motions of our own hearts towards the duty. We must, when God gives and says, seek my face, our hearts must comply, 27 of Psalms. And so what is it that the psalmist, What is it that this text is calling us to? To pray much. And seeing this given to us in the context of this wardrobe for a warrior, we are to be praying as we go out to fight, as we deal with the devil, as we deal with our own struggles and temptations. We are to be praying, for we have no strength within ourselves to battle in such a way. And so we must abide in the duty of prayer, whatever change there may be in the outward circumstances. We must continue in it as long as we live in this world. And we must pray with supplication, not for ourselves only, but for all the saints, for all the members of one another. And again, going back to those examples, the Lord's Prayer, the Beatitudes, the Ten Commandments, and just looking through those things and learning how to pray these things that we know to be the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't take in hand other things as well, things that at times we're not sure. This person says he wants to be in the ministry. I don't know. How should I pray? Pray that God would give him wisdom. Pray that God would give the church wisdom. Pray that God would give the presbytery wisdom, and that he would lead and direct us in his kind providence towards that end. So there are many things that we pray for that we are concerned that we might know what God's will is, and we leave it there. God, as best we understand, we pray, and we ask that you would answer according to your purpose and according to your will. Praying always, as expected by the first commandment, we are to pray as we are called to keep God before us at all times, at all situations, at all occasions, in the closet and on the road, praying in the Spirit or in harmony with the Holy Spirit. And so when he calls us to pray in the Spirit, he certainly is not talking about a different language that's made up by man, but rather he is talking about that which we do in the Spirit as God enables us, as God carries us along in it, as God makes it effectual, and we look to him to do so, even so much so that in Romans chapter 8, we are reminded that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We not knowing how to pray, he carries us along in such a fashion. He searches the hearts and the minds of the men, and the Spirit does so because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Praying that is enabled by the work of the Holy Spirit as a means of grace. Note that when we talk about the means of grace, which we do quite often because it's important, but our confession doesn't try to include all of the means of grace, for there are many, but when he summarizes the few things that come to mind quickly, we are called to remember that there is the sacraments, there is the word, and there is prayer. In the minds of the Westminster theologians, it was high on the mark. This is what God uses. Prayer is what God uses to change you. Again, you can ask these questions that are interesting and you can beat them back and forth until you're old and decrepit. But this notion that we are to be praying in such a way that God knows, why should I bother? Well, God knows, and he tells you to bother, and that is sufficient reason. And so, by Paul's example and by Paul's exhortation, we are called upon to pray. And that is that we are called upon in times of cruelty, in times of poverty, in times of war, in times of perversity, and just a general vileness of times, we are to be praying that God would work to accomplish his work in establishing his kingdom. We are to pray for our battle with sin, counting it as this is a means that in God's kindness he has given to us, so that we might make progress in our battle with sin, so that we might make progress in our building and developing relationships, so that we might make progress in all things that we do. This is one of the means that God makes use of and calls us to the task, and it is not hard. There are questions that may rise to your mind that are difficult to wrap your mind about. Some you just need to grow into and to think through. But in the thinking and in the growing, do not give up the doing. Pray for those things and be that persistent, nagging widow. Bang on the door until God answers. That is not good to imagine, well, I've asked him once. And no, he has told us explicitly we are to ask him much so that we might grow in our confidence and our faith. He prayed for the salvation of the lost and for God's provision for people of God and for the protection of ministers, so did Paul. do this. Paul prayed for our own perseverance and his own. He prayed, like we just mentioned before in Ephesians 1, Philippians 1, he prayed for things of the soul, things of the kingdom, things that matter greatly. And no, it is not wrong to pray for little things. You bump into people sometimes and they discuss, you know, things we want to pray for. Well, I don't want to pray for that because it's small. I want to pray for something important. It's okay to do both. God's not going to run short of power and say, well, if he hadn't have spent all that power over there on these little things, God, give me a parking lot and I'm getting close to the mall. If he hadn't uttered up all these things, he wouldn't have burned, you know, the energy, but not quite at all. Now, it is sometimes silly to pray for some things, and we ought to guard it, not to make it a trivial thing. But you can't ask too much of God, for he is sovereign, he is immense, he is everywhere, he is without limit to his power. He does everything he wants to do. So pray with that knowledge of who God is, and that knowledge of what he says we ought to pray for, and pray as the examples that are given to us, not only for ourselves and our family, but yes, pray for yourself and your family. Not only for our church, but yes, pray for your church and the people of it. The church directory, it's a great little place to go to pray. You pull that up, you look at the pictures, you look at the names, and you make your way through it. Or you can just write the list down on a piece of paper. But don't give yourself over to trusting too much on your memory. You can't carry a book or a list around you all times, and we throw prayers up into the heavens throughout our day, but it is also good and healthy, I think, to have some order to who we're praying for. You may not be able to pray for all the missionaries you know on a Monday, but you might pray for some of them on Monday and some of them on Wednesday, and breaking down it in such practical manners ought to be a help. Pray for the work of God in his world. Pray, as the apostle says, as we suit up for the battle, we are to pray with all manner of supplication, asking God for all kinds of things, to the end that we might be staying alert, that we might have perseverance, and we might have supplication for all the saints. Pray for each other. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon this little passage and this great calling that you have called us to. Forgive us for when we have made prayer to be in our mind a little thing, for it is that which you have ordained and designed to change your world. So help us to be much about prayer. Guard us from praying wrongly. Give us grace that we might pray in faith, that we might pray the things which please God. Grow us up in this area, we pray. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come for our salvation. Amen.